Acts chapter 16, our message is when God doesn't make sense. When God, if we're honest, we could say sometimes from our perception, he just doesn't make sense. Have you ever felt that? Maybe it was pain you were experiencing, maybe it was a problem that you were presented with. Maybe it was just you had stalled out in something that it seemed like he was in it, and all of a sudden you're just standing there. If we can be real and take off our halos for just a minute in this gathering, and just together acknowledge the fact that there are times when we're just left going, "What are you doing?" Or even maybe, where are you? Acts chapter 16. We're going to see the Apostle Paul, who for him things have been going really well. Really well. You're like, how well have they been going? In Acts chapter 16. Well, in verse 5 it says, "So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily." They started churches on one trip, and now they're coming back and they're going, "Hey, how is this that we started doing?" There was some crazy stuff that happened, people stuff. It's just real. Doing ministry, doing life, stuff you just go sideways with people you never thought you would. The guy who discipled the Apostle Paul, Barnabas, had a falling out just most recently here. And so things were hard, but in the midst of it, God was there. And it was clear God was up to something. And that brings us to verse 6. "Now, when they had gone through Phrygia," she's in the Black Eyed Peas, I think, "and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia." So we're all clear. They were forbidden, not by Lucifer, but by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. That same Holy Spirit that Jesus said was going to come up on us and give us power to preach the gospel. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. And he didn't say except Asia. We're just absolutely not down on preaching there. So Paul has it in his heart, has it in his spirit, to preach the gospel in Asia. And as he tries to, he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in Asia. So after they head to Mysia and they go to Bithynia, and the Spirit had not permitted them, so passing by Mysia, they came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Trying to preach the gospel. Trying to do a good thing. In fact, many people think he was trying to get to Ephesus, and then he was going to head into the region that contained the seven churches that Jesus would later write to in the book of Revelation. And so his motivation was good. "I've been appointed to preach. That's why God sought me. That's why he touched me and saved me and spoke over my life what he wanted me to do." And I went through a whole wilderness period. He was able to preach. He was anointed to preach. He had proven the concept that he could preach. Basically, it was his time to shine, except the Spirit drove him into the wilderness for a time of developing, a time of testing. The reality is many of us are gifted and skilled far beyond the level of our character, far beyond the level of our integrity. And so at times we can all end up in positions where we could do things, but God knows that it would destroy us if we first didn't take some time to build some deep foundations in our lives. And so that's what Paul had just endured, and now he's out of it, right? So now he's like, finally, everyone agrees. And so he tries to go. He's like, I got this dream in my heart. I got this vision in my heart. I got this God idea. And what's the God idea? Going to go preach in Asia. Sounds like a pretty good thing that God would get behind. I mean, we didn't say make meth in Argentina. You know what I'm saying? Like, what part of this is a bad plan? And I think the times when we can be the most confused with what God is doing is the times when we're trying to do something that he should, by all rights, bless. He should be getting behind that. Now, all of a sudden, he's forbidding. The Holy Spirit forbade Paul from preaching in Asia. Here's what I believe. I believe God wants to use your confusion as navigation. He wants to use your confusion as navigation. Paul's in a moment where he's confused here. He's confused about why God won't let him go into this area. So he's like, fine, I'll go into Bithynia. Sorry, right? And I'll go over here, and God's not letting him go in here. Now you're like, how is God leading him? How is God forbidding him? How is God doing this? The leading of the Holy Spirit is interesting. It's something that you have to catch more than you can be taught. But the more you listen to the Holy Spirit, the more you wait for the Holy Spirit, the more you foster your relationship with the Holy Spirit, the more in tune you'll get with His leading. So where to start? Well, we'll start at the beginning. Ask God to fill you. You could do it today. Ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. If it's been a while, if it's been a long time since you've interacted with God's Spirit, ask Him to refill you. Ask Him to fill you afresh. And the more you're listening, the more you're waiting, the more you're pausing, the more you begin your days with just a few moments to be quiet before Him, or when you feel confused in life, it's especially important that you seek Him and look to Him. He just felt God. You're not in this. And I think when you're listening to that, you sense that still small voice of His in leading that, because it's like that. It's not necessarily going to be some big sign, some big omen, some huge word. Someone interrupts you and you never met at Burger King, like, put the Whopper down, thus saith the Lord, right? If it happens, that's amusing. That's a great start to a story, right? Whether it's right or wrong, it's amusing at least. But I think a lot of times it'll just feel like, oh, wow, this isn't quite right. God leads. It's subtle like that. But the more you pay attention to him, like a horse that gets good at responding to its rider, the more he doesn't have to use a lot of force. He's not having to break out the spurs. He's not having to get out the riding crop. It's just, you just feel a shift in the weight. You can sense the Holy Spirit leading like that. And Paul had grown, no doubt, during his years in the desert, where we know nothing about him except that he was seeking God. He was growing strong in his faith. In that desert season, he had come to know very clearly when God was in something and leading. And he was probably confused when I can't go here, so I go here. Well, you can't go there either. Why am I being forbidden? Why am I being forbidden? Could it be that God talks freedom inside of things that he forbids? Forbidden freedom. He's trying to get to freedom and he forbids. Is not that the case of the Garden of Eden? He knew we would be separated if we took the fruit from this tree. He forbade it. He said, don't touch that tree. Don't eat it. Why? Because he wanted us to have freedom. Freedom from sin. There's always forbidden fruit. And whatever God forbids, it's always to get us to freedom. And that's one of the ways in which God will use your confusion as navigation. For Paul, it's trying to get to Asia, and it doesn't work. So what does he do? He wakes up from a dream and realizes maybe, just maybe, the reason God said no to Asia was because he wanted me to go to Europe. And I hadn't even thought of Europe. Europe wasn't even on my radar. So Paul, Timothy, Silas, and Luke. Luke, who's a medical doctor, joins the crew. Now, it's a bad sign that God, in his providence, included a doctor in the crew. Because it's almost like he only gives you things you'll need for the future. So if one day God's like, you know what? You should probably have a physician around you. I'd be concerned, right? But that's exactly what God did for Paul. And we're going to see exactly why he needed that. All right? So verse 11. So therefore, sailing from Troas, we made a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and there we came to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. Now this is 134 miles. So he wakes up with his dream. Maybe it's Macedonia, and they got boats and trains and planes and automobiles. There wasn't Uber. It was a thing to get there. But they would have enjoyed it and had fun. And we, he says, were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out to the city. Here we go. River Wild. To the riverside where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia, she's called a certain woman. When we're introduced to Timothy. It's a certain disciple named Timothy. I mean, it's not just some random person. In God's eyes, you are a certain person. He sees you individually. He sees you distinctly. It's not just a bunch of women were there. It's a certain woman named Lydia was there. And God sees you, and He knows you. He has plans for you. The certain disciple, whose name was Lydia, she heard us. Now, she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So, she persuaded us. How Paul must have been laughing when this woman came to Christ. Because first of all, how unsuccessful things had been, and how frustrated he had been to try and get to Asia. But had he gotten to Asia, this woman here in Macedonia never would have experienced Jesus. The setup, this beautiful. And God is just clearly weaving. He's using, doing. You see that He uses confusion at times as an element of His navigation. He allowed a confusing season to come. Why? So that He would get here. But a lot of people don't get to the payoff, don't get to the ending, because they give up somewhere in the beginning. They give up when it's confusing. What is your threshold for confusion? That's really what this message boils down to. That's the point of faith. Faith is having to trust God when it doesn't make sense. Faith is having to trust God when it feels like things are out of control. And to the degree that you're comfortable, not walking away, but saying, "I'm fully confused. I don't get this at all." But you know what? You're not getting rid of me. I'm just going to stay right here and study. I'm going to keep reading, keep praying, keep dreaming. You don't let me go to Bithynia. You don't let me go to Asia. Cool. I'll go to Macedonia. I'm willing to be confused. And because of that, he got to encourage this woman named Lydia. And apparently, Lydia had the market cornered on purple dye. And so she's like the Ralph Lauren of the New Testament. And she's standing by the riverside when Paul gets to Macedonia on the Sabbath day. Now, what's the deal with the riverside? There was something in her heart that, how crazy is that? Wealthy beyond imagination, we know that. The seller of purple, just wealthy. So she had everything you normally would think, if I had that, I'd be happy. Some of you today, you think, well, I'm not happy, but I don't have, and I can think of 10 things that if I could have those, certainly, I'd be happy. But I got news for you. There are people who have those 10 things, and their list includes some other things. Everybody's looking for peace. Everyone's looking for forgiveness. Everyone's looking for eternal life. Everyone's looking for the same things. And this woman, who had everything, influence and success and wealth, she's just standing there by the river going, I wonder if it's in Judaism. I wonder if it's in this. And so Lydia finds God coming into her heart. And what is her instant reaction? If God's in my heart, then I want him to use what's in my hands. And what was in her hands was a very big house. She has this huge house. We know it's huge because she's able to say to Paul's whole crew, like, yeah, I got a room for Timothy. I got a room for you, right? I got space for Silas. I got even Luke. Get that doctor on over here. We'll give him his own room. And so she's able to have them over. What I'm really trying to say is that your lowest moment might lead you to someone else's highest moment. Some woman hurting, someone afraid. But for God to get Lydia to the highest moment, he was willing to say, Paul, let's go through a low moment. The low moment was the confusion. The low moment was the valley. The low moment was like, I'm sort of an apostle and stuff, and I can't seem to be able to preach anywhere because the Holy Spirit won't let me, keeps forbidding me to preach. But it wasn't his freedom. It was her freedom. God had her freedom on his mind. So he was willing to let Paul be forbidden a few times. And I believe that just continues to be something we can see play out in our lives. For notice what happens in the text next, verse 16. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl, not just anyone, God had his mind on her, his eye on her. He got Paul. Nope, you can't go to Asia. There's a slave girl that needs me too. And so I'm going to get you here. Possessed with the spirit of divination. The actual translation is possessed by the spirit of Python, which connects her to the false worship of the god Apollo from this whole Greek and then Roman part of worship. But the Bible tells us that behind every false god is actually a demon that's masquerading, basically trying to get the attention off of Jesus. And so that's what this girl was held captive by. And somehow, some way, she was able to tell fortunes because of this demonic influence in her life. And notice it says she brought much profit by fortune telling to her masters. This girl followed Paul and us, and she cried out, presumably in pain, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days, as Paul was doing ministry in the city, in the church, which I forgot to even tell you this, which was started in Lydia's huge house, which is awesome. So the church that blossomed in Philippi, that he will later write an entire epistle back to, it was started at the generosity of this woman who used her financial means and resources to allow the church to continue to be built. But Paul, this tells me Paul is a human being, greatly annoyed. You think Paul is perfect? Oh, no, he's not. Super irritated is the actual Greek translation. Turned and said to the Spirit, This, by the way, is the only documented case of a miracle coming out of someone just being ticked off in the Bible. He turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And a demon came out that very hour. You see another example of Paul, and I imagine Paul just laughed at the frustration he felt, because back there in Bithynia and in Galatia, God, you don't make sense. And you know how stupid I look in front of these learners who have given their lives to follow me? Looks like I'm all in. I'm coming back with my shield, or I'm coming back on it. And Timothy, not to be outdone, was like, "I'm going to die with my boots on," right? And Silas was like, "Y'all, I'm your ride or die." Paul and was like, "Cool, you're going to Asia. Man, it's going to be crazy in Asia. You don't know what's going to happen in Asia." So they're like, "All right." So they're all getting themselves psyched up. They're getting their war paint, like ready to go, like full outfits and uniforms. And so off they go. Paul would have felt like, "God, you don't make sense here. What are you doing?" Now he sees, "You allowed me to be at my lowest so that I would take my eyes off myself and see that someone else needed to be lifted up, because they were even at a lower place than me." So we continue on. With this, I want you to understand that what we're seeing here is in Europe being converted, and this is a massive moment, because European converts in all of history is really where Christianity began to flourish and impacted the whole world from, which of course it started in Jerusalem. God knew it needed to get to Europe so that it could touch the world. The very first convert to Christianity in Europe was a super successful, wealthy person who had everything. And the immediate next person the gospel touched was a slave girl who was owned and had nothing. And the message is clear. Jesus is the only hope of humanity. Whether you have everything or whether you got nothing, you need Jesus. And he's the only one who can heal you, change you, save you. We started out with a woman who had everything. And then he now frees from the enemy's grasp someone who had nothing. But then right there in between is the next person who represents just the average person, who's kind of right there smack dab in the middle. This blue collar guy, a jailer. There's this jailer in Philippi who God had his eye on as well, a certain jailer you can be assured of in heaven's perspective. And you're like, well, if God wants to see a jailer get impacted, you're like, how's he going to do that? Did he come down to the riverside too? No. God knew that it wasn't going to work to get the jailer to come out. So God decided to send the preacher into the jail. And that's the good news, bad news, because Paul would need the doctor that he had brought on the expedition by the time this day is over. And it's going to lead to our final point. And the final point is this. Good deeds often get punished. But God has a plan for that too. Good deeds often get punished. We worked through our confusion. We worked through moments where it's low. We work through hard times. And we get the payoff is, oh, I see what you're up to. And now we do something good. And we feel like we're going to be rewarded by heaven. But the cycle just starts over at that point. And now we're back to the beginning. Back at confusion. You're like, what's going on? Well, let's jump into verse 19. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Verse 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, so now Paul and Silas, their backs are ripped apart and they're bleeding, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had all fled, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your whole household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. He brought them into his home, set food before them. He rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. So what do we do? What do we do? To begin where we started, when God doesn't make sense. From these verses we just read, there's six things. Number one, we don't take it personally. You see, when God's not making sense, our immediate response is, I must have done something wrong. I must be out of step with you. You must not care about me. No, don't take it personally. Because don't take this the wrong way. It's not all about you. Don't take it personally when his hand is off you for a while, or so you think. Secondly, don't lose sleep over it. I don't know if you noticed this. When Paul couldn't get into Bithynia and couldn't get to Galatia, that would be just the sort of thing that would rob us of our sleep. But how did God get through to him? He was in a dream. The only reason he was able to dream is because he was still prioritizing rest. Don't lose sleep over it. Some of you today feel like God hasn't spoken to me for a while. God has forgotten about me. He's not letting me do the things I want to do. And I'm calling, and he's calling on my life to do. And hey, rest. Rest. If you're in a holding pattern, get the rest that you need. Rest. There's going to come a time of surging ahead. And when that time comes, be ready. And God broke through because he was sleeping. So don't take it personally. Don't lose sleep over it. Thirdly, don't stop singing. Don't stop singing. Paul's back's been beaten bloody. He's in jail as a reward for healing a little girl and helping Donna Versace get to know Jesus. It would be easy for him to be like, you know what? He doesn't stop singing, though. And a lot of times, the mistake that we make is when we don't feel it, we don't sing it. When we don't feel it, we don't give it. When we don't feel it, we don't do it. But we got to free how we feel from what we do. It's an act of obedience that oftentimes develops feelings on the back end. Number four, don't get too comfortable. Don't get too comfortable. And Paul would use an analogy when he wrote to the Philippians, telling them, don't forget, we as Jesus' people are an embassy. The soil of our lives, the soil of our bodies is part of heaven. I know we live on this earth, but we're a part of heaven. We're an extension of heaven. So don't get too comfortable here on this earth. Don't get too comfortable in this life. Number five, don't keep it to yourself. Whatever God's done in your life, don't keep it to yourself. What to do when God doesn't make sense? Whatever you've been blessed with, bless others with. Your experience, your testimony, the resources. You have a big house. You have the opportunity to travel to different places. That's different people that you're going to interact with. Sit next to on airplanes and do business meetings with. And the most important, number six, don't give up. Don't give up. Getting shut down here, going to keep preaching. Shut down here, not going to stop preaching. I'm going to keep preaching. You put me in a jail, I'm going to preach the gospel to the jailer. A little demon-possessed girl, I'm going to share liberty and freedom with her. I'm just telling you, when things go wrong and go wrong and go wrong, just use that as motivation. So Paul thought God was saying no, but God was just saying not yet. And God has a way when we just follow him. When we just follow our shepherd, when we're just following our Savior, of giving us the desires of our heart. It just won't always be exactly like we thought it would be. But we can trust him. We can trust him.